the lottery. At least I don't think I will. My complete boredom and distaste for conventional forms of entertainment has pushed my intent to create content that uplifts and entertains me. But why not share it with the world? First, who is that girl in the big old truck? Oh yes, that's my truck, at least for the next 72 payments. In 2017, I picked up said truck in Texas. Shout out to Terry Hill, at that time at Autoflex Leasing. Bought a 30-year-old RV and pulled it to Oregon. Yes, child, the chick with the fro would camp across the US. I would visit lakes on top of extinct volcanoes with the clearest of blue waters. Search out waterfalls and chase the sun that had difficulty showing its face in that rainforest. Yes, less than 10 months later, I ran screaming back across the country, but not before hanging out in the Grand Canyon. I had to get home to a real house with four walls and my back porch. But all I want more than anything is to travel with true friends, go to football games, Cowboys for life, bitches, see the cherry blossoms, and surround myself with positivity. In the meantime, I have self-published my first book, Not My Family, and I want to see it reviewed in the New York Times Book Review. Yes, I think it's that good. And I'm working on my second book, based right here in Chattanooga, based on the premise, if I won the $1 billion lotto, what about Chattanooga? In the dirty or not so dirty in this case, or why in Chattanooga in general? No prize that large has ever been won in Tennessee. I have been given an extraordinary opportunity to do pretty ordinary work, and I love it. It's not lost on me that I will be able to afford chasing sunsets, following the cherry blossom blooms, and off to not so extinct volcanoes in the most exotic locales on the earth. Or just kick back on the greatest beaches on either coast of the United States. But I want to share that with, well, everyone. I'm the Ruth of podcasts, seeking a Boaz, male or female, individual or corporate, to support my mission to have a positive impact on this life and to encourage others. That was a biblical reference, but the theme of my podcast and even my blog does not have a particular religious bent. It's more contemplative. My hope is to spread the girl power heroine message because that message can't be told enough. It takes courage and a lot of hard work if you want to rewrite your life narrative. My inspiration is everything and everyone I see and meet in this life, but it takes time to develop, research, and publish next level content. It takes time and money because true quality comes at a price. That is why I want your support. So let's keep it going. See you at the next book fair. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Tennessee Froze Medical Minute. Hi, and I'm your host, Felicia Baxter. In this week's segment, I wish to discuss or start a conversation about stopping the stigmata or the stigma of mental illness. It's okay not to be okay, and what exactly does that mean? I will give out support for apps that you can actually utilize to get your or to unpack your stuff. Sometimes you just need more than a poem and a prayer. I'm just sorry. And also real talk, real contact with suicide prevention and other meaningful ways that technology can actually be of assistance to mankind. We'll talk about news and insurance, as well as Hannah's homeopathic corner. I'll update a previous segment. Legionnaires' disease is running rampant, it seems, in the western part of Western Carolina. Another topic, breast cancer awareness and my biotech list. And I will end with an update as far as an alert with precision medicine, blockchain, and biotechnology in general. This month is still breast cancer awareness. We have to find a cure. You can navigate to Susan Komen to place a secure donation on your own behalf or in relation to my mother, Del E. Baxter. Does that sound like a plan? Don't forget to navigate to www.dalesangelsinc.com for all special offers and updates on Nerds News. And drop me a line at TennesseeFroisReading@gmail.com, or you can leave a 2-minute voicemail at 423-463-0658. No trolley messages, please. And if the comments are right on point, they may actually be read during the podcast. Also, for all the freeloaders out there, you can become a patron and get access to all this great content by navigating to Podbean and putting $5 on it in my link, paypal.me/FeliciaDAI, to support the program. And I always affirm to do better. I deserve to be successful because I have and will do the work. And thank you for listening. Welcome back to the episode. This episode, I'm going to start with a topic that a lot of people don't really like discussing. It's very funny. Down in the South, they said that we wouldn't lock our crazies away in attics and in cellars. We put them right on the front porch so we can keep an eye on them. But it's always been an unspoken stance in most families that you just don't put your business out there. You have things, you keep things in. Grandparents tell you, mamas used to tell you, you just pray about it and they try to give you scripture to give you support. While I am a firm believer in affirmation, that's why I start out with affirmations, and I read a whole book dedicated to that, helped me to create affirmations, and I end my show on an affirmation. But at the same time, sometimes you just need more than a word. You need professional help from people to help you unpack some things. You're talking about years of untreated anxiety, years of untreated PTSD, years or just years of untreated serious mental illness, whether it be bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, or chronic self-medication with illicit substance because you keep hearing shit in your head. But all of those things, it's okay. And also, it's just a good thing in this fake positive society. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay to feel some days that people are garbage and the world is garbage and the United States is garbage. But that may be your opinion, but it's not necessarily grounded in truth. I believe that if in order to have a productive life, you actually have to put the work in, whether it be through talking it out with someone or through actual medication. So with that said, Talkspace, there are apps where you can use that cost less than one session with a board certified and licensed psychotherapist or psychiatrist through, as I said, Talkspace or Dr. Phil's company, Doctor On Demand. Or you can go through your health plan and look up who is actually covered within your, who actually is taking new patients as well as getting coverage. Little known fact, your insurance companies are responsible for finding you the help, especially in behavioral help, that you need. So you don't have to walk around out there. And being hurt and needing something or someone to be able to live and live without the psychological pain that people go through. Navigate to either Android or the App Store and download Talkspace or Doctor On Demand. That's DR plus Dr. Phil, and check that out. Also, suicide is a real thing. My family's been touched by this a few years ago. Call 1-800-273-8255, where you can, there's someone available 24/7. And that's real. And there was something else that I realized I wanted to investigate. We spend so much time on social media that I thought, if you have, or if you were a provider, did you guys realize that there are bots that cruise social media and could actually be used to identify depression? For example, there is a major depression calculator that was developed by Dr. Perbeck, but the link to that I actually put into the notes for the podcast, and actually will be a part of the blog post when I'm all finished. But and it includes some great things like other scales of disability as well as an anxiety scale. But I was wondering if there you could create a bot that could just troll through multiple social media posts to keep an eye on people that are and identify those people that are having issues. It seems that we were all, unbeknownst to us, subject to this type of trolling in the last election with companies like Cambridge Analytica and another effort by Facebook and Cornell in their infamous emotional contagion study. But there, I think there can be some helpful things that can actually help society and help also a population of people, you know, but not to be used against them. This is also just to be used to reach out to them and help them manage their stress, their anxiety, or their depression. You'd be surprised what people actually post on social media. A lot of people live their lives out loud on social media. So why can't you also use that information positively to actually help someone instead of just using it to line your pocket? This is just me. There are bots that are all actually available out there, and it goes for my meaningful usage of technology to help the world or populations. And I think this is a great one, because the higher you score on these calculators, the more help, and probably can actually use AI to identify that help for you. If it's just a simple myriad of symptoms that are just dysphoria, they could probably just suggest, oh yeah, by the way, you could, you may stand another couple of sessions through your Talkspace. You know what I mean? Or you may want to call someone because, or have someone called for you because you may need inpatient care or some other significant things. I think there is a meaningful use of technology, and it doesn't necessarily have to be used to manipulate people. But then I'm sure there are all these privacy concerns, and I get that. But I think this is one of those things that we need to also talk about, how it can be used to better and help people. So stay tuned to that, because hopefully I have some people comment on it, but I think I'm going to have some follow-up pings on that myself. And news and insurance. A federal judge ruled Tuesday that, this was actually earlier this year, in March, I think it's March 7th, that the United Behavioral Health breached its fiduciary duty to patients by using an unreasonable and overly restrictive guidelines to make coverage decisions for tens of thousands of mental health and substance abuse patients. They denied coverage to the self-insured and fully insured employer health plans for residential and outpatient treatment from 2011 to 2017. This ruling also cleared the way for a multi-billion-dollar class action suit that's probably getting ready to drop in the coming months, where plaintiffs are seeking class action status, and they estimate that thousands of providers affected totally more than $9.3 billion in denied claims. I'm just saying that UnitedHealthcare, this is going to have to come up off the cash. You know, I have been, as a physician advisor and now in my current role, I'm very much aware of their dodging abilities not to pay anything. But with this type of egregious utilization, lack of utilization of their means, it seems like they are more invested in securing their bottom line instead of actually providing the care that's necessary. I know you can't have it both ways, and you know you should not. You should be fiscally responsible, but you can't deny people the care that makes sense. And I do get that. But they're fitting to pay, and pay big. And this is huge, more huge than the money they say they lost on by entering into the Affordable Care Act. This is huge, and this is going to hit them hard. So stay tuned for more updates on this and other news in insurance. Well, welcome back to the podcast. I learn something new every day, and I have reaffirmations of things every day, and I do talk a lot. I have a lot of interests, sports, healthcare, tech, biotech, and I would like to become more focused on just kind of one thing, or just have a lot of knowledge and applicable knowledge of things that will actually either make people money or continue to make them happy. So that's why the podcast. And if I could figure out a way to monetize basically everything that I do, I think I would not be so stressed and work so hard. But that's neither near here nor there. That's just like win the lottery and then don't have to work anymore. I think I'll probably still be one of those people that continues to report in until I just don't feel like it. But with that said, now on to healthcare news and alerts. The last couple of days, in one of the many magazines I get alerts from, and I believe this is Healthcare Wire or something similar to that, that announced that as part of their virtual clinic, Amazon Care, which is rolling out to the tech giants, Seattle-based employees, they have recently purchased Health Navigator, which provides online symptom checking, clinical documentation support, and triage tools to route patients to the correct site of care. This is their first major acquisition. After 1 year ago, they purchased the online pill pack company, which is a prescription drug delivery company, for a cool $800 million. This is the advisors and analysts see this as a way of now the Amazon tech giant going to be ready to attempt to disrupt the telemedicine world once this, they prove, build it and prove it that it works for their large employee base in Seattle. I ain't mad at them. Anything that they can do to leverage and make the delivery of healthcare better, have at it. So next in this segment, I wanted to just reiterate how much I appreciate technology and how I would like to continue to use it meaningfully. So I have found that the longer I wait to post my podcast, the more I add in it, and it just becomes this massive, rambling confection of crazy. And I have decided that I am going to pursue posting this continuing every week, sticking to that schedule, but also sticking to the script and not adding a whole bunch of things onto it. But there's just so many cool things that I want to report about. So if I stick to the script, I'm going to basically be finished all of the recording by close of business today, edit it, and then post it by this evening. Y'all, let's keep hope alive. I'm just saying. But anyways, as far as the end of alerts, I wanted to just to kind of give you guys an update on Legionnaire's disease. Several weeks back, I reported on this highly contagious, very but rare, bacterial infection that can cause acute respiratory distress syndrome and a horrible pneumonia and respiratory failure. Well, we're up to now 4 deaths here in North Carolina that have been associated with a hot tub display at the North Carolina State Fair. Evidently, people didn't get in the pool. They basically just walked by the display. And as we know that Legionnaires is transmitted through contaminated air system, like air, all these, like the water vapor that is in improperly sanitized and heated and chlorinated tub aerosolize this contagion into the air. Great day in the noontime. It is treatable, but it, even with treatment, it still can kill you. It has a high mortality. Evidently, 4 people are dead. So when I reported on it, the contaminated Sheraton in Atlanta had no idea that it was also brewing at the state fair. So I'll keep you updated as far as any further cases. There have been 141 cases have been reported, and 94 have been hospitalized due to this outbreak. So I think with all the people that went to the fair this year, I'm sure that we are going to hear more from that. Hello, friends. Are you tired, run down, listless? Do you poop out at parties? Are you unpopular? The answer to all your problems is in this little bottle, Vitamina Vegemin. Yes, Vitamina Vegemin contains vitamins, meats, vegetables, and minerals. Yes, with Vitamina Vegemin, you can spoon your way back to health. All you do is take a great big tablespoon after every meal. It's so tasty too. Tastes just like candy. So why don't you join all the thousands of happy peppy people and get a great big bottle of Vitamita Vegemin tomorrow. That's Vitamita Vegemin. Wink. For all those TV nerds, everyone knows that that is Lucille McGillicuddy's famous Vitamita Vegemin commercial, because although she was the funniest of the couple that made up Lucy and Ricky Ricardo, she was always trying to get into his act, and she always had a funny way of even making the most mundane things funny. She was a very physical actress, and I started thinking about this for some reason as I was recording Hannah's Corner, and it does apply to the infusion that I'm about to talk about next. Every single day, I drink a lot of caffeine. I mean, a lot of caffeine. And I started doing this kind of detox after my birthday weekend, where I was mixing different herbs with cucumbers, as well as jalapenos with a dash of apple cider vinegar. And what I found is, if you take it with some Prilosec, now that Zantac isn't available on Earth anymore, you won't get as bad as reflux. But it does, it is actually a refreshing drink that can give you a jolt as far as energy, as that is probably even more than the hot tea that I'm drinking now, or straight up black coffee. And why? Well, in addition to helping you get rid of toxins, cucumbers have a distinct ability to battle kidney stones. I don't know if it's because it's predominantly water, or because if you use a cucumber-based infusion, you're drinking a whole bunch of water. This actually, increase in hydration actually helps you flush kidney stones. But many studies have shown that people suffering from kidney stones just get relief from either eating the cucumbers or drinking a whole bunch of water. I'm not sure if it alkalizes your urine, or again, it increases your hydration and allows you to flush out these stones. But it also, cucumbers themselves are actually high in A, B, and C vitamins. Those particular vitamins have a nourishing and rejuvenating effects on the skin. And also, zero calories. So just like when you make pickles, you can eat as much as you want and not having to worry about packing on the pounds. And also, we've known for years that a couple of cucumber slices on those bags under your eyes is also great to reduce those bags. And also, studies have shown that they're high in phytochemicals, which have been shown in rats to reduce the growth of tumors. So you may start seeing cucumber-based phytochemicals in some of our newer cancer-fighting drugs, hopefully in the near future. And what about the reflux-inducing or worsening effects of peppers? Well, a study that came out in August of 2014 in the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry, Chinese researchers of Hong Kong found that capsaicin lowers blood pressure levels and blocks a gene that makes arteries contract, which can lead to dangerous blockages of blood flow. These blockages, we know, and what I see on a daily basis, can cause heart attacks when enough blood doesn't reach the heart, and strokes when enough blood doesn't reach the brain. So if I were you, I would not only get your drink on with a nice cucumber and jalapeno infused refreshing beverage that has been shown to be cardioprotective and tighten up your skin, but also consider that there are several infusions that I've seen over the counter recently, these health drinks that are costing $6 a bottle, you can actually merge this with, I have a SodaStream link on my website that you can actually make this into a nice fizzy, healthy drink for just cents on the dollar. So bottoms up, y'all. And this is the end of my updates as far as Hannah's homeopathic corner. And I'll be right back after this break. So I start and end my show with trying to encourage people to navigate to www.dalesangelsinc.com to see all the offers. I actually have another side hustle in which I belong to several affiliate programs where I advertise certain products, etc., on my website in exchange for commissions. Well, with the previous segment's discussion, the whole Vitamita Vegemin, as well as my health tonic, I wanted to basically give a shout out to SodaStream because I'm actually affiliate of SodaStream. SodaStream has an amazing product where it allows you to make cost-effective and low in sugar health drinks, which are better for you, and also because it reduces plastic waste or single-use plastic waste, it's also better for the planet. And I actually like that. I like not only meaningful technology helping people, this actual product is better, truly is better for the planet. They have a special offer that's actually now is going on now through Sunday, in which if you purchase things over $100, and I think the most basic SodaStream apparatus is about $120, but you will receive a voucher of $10 towards your next purchase. You'll get the voucher in a separate email once the delivery of your item is actually confirmed. And also, there is a site-wide sale going on that ends at midnight, where it's 15% off site-wide. You just have to enter in the save 15 product code while you're paying for your item to be able to contribute or to be able to get that special offer. And as I said, I actually think that this is a great product because it truly is better for you, because it is a healthy alternative to sugary drinks, because just like I said in the last episode, you could actually use this to fizz up your cucumber and jalapeno health tonic. I believe that's about 15 calories in a 32-ounce jar. And it also decreases single-use plastic, which is better for the planet. So navigate to dalesangelsinc.com to see what else is available through my affiliation with SodaStream, or go directly to the product site and take advantage of these special offers. And thank you. It is still Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and as a part of that, I've been doing talks or giving advice on best imaging, and also in this segment, I wanted to basically report on advances in the treatment of breast cancer. And this kind of goes hand in hand with this segment, and the next segment actually go hand in hand, I should say, because I not only am talking about breast cancer awareness and treatment, I'm also talking about additions to my my favorite stocks as far as biotechs. Seattle Genetics this week stock jumped almost 17% with the success of their breast cancer drug trial. The medication is called Ticatinib, it's a daily pill that targets human epidermal growth factor receptor 2, or HER2, a protein that promotes growth of cancer cells and is found in around 20% of breast cancers. The phase 3 trial showed that this medication delivered better results when it was given in combination with Roche's Herceptin and another chemotherapy drug, capecitabine. Basically, it sounds like what this is, this particular medication is a immunoglobulin, which is a type of molecule that attaches itself to that receptor. And if the receptor cannot be activated, therefore the tumor can't grow. You back that up with other drugs that probably block other receptors and other synthetic processes. And it's basically a 1-2 punch, like uppercut, uppercut, right cross to the cancer cells. And what they have shown, which I think is actually very promising, it reduces the risk of cancer advancement by 46%, which makes sense because if the cell can't grow, then the cancer can't advance. And if the cancer can't grow, the cancer can't advance, then the risk of death is also reduced. And that's what they showed with this drug with combination of 34%. That is tremendous news. But I did not see in this report when this drug was actually going to be available outside of cancer protocols and research for the general public. And I'm thinking they're probably doing their safety checks now, but that's actually very, 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 very not concerning, but I dig that a lot. I'll put it that way. And you know when you're actually done something good because the CEO got 110% raise. This to me seems to be always makes me think. Encouraging. That's the word I was looking for. Those results are very encouraging. Anyways, but this always, that raise that CEO got always makes me think that I'm basically in the wrong career path because he got 110%. That means his total salary for the year is about $7 million. He gets $7 million a year plus stock options plus all of his benefits because the drugs that they have in production are just about to slay as far as oncology, and I think it's amazing. I think he's worth every penny, don't you? Now with the addition of the Seattle Genetics to my cancer list. This particular stock debuted back in 2001 at a whopping $21 a share. If I had bought 500 shares at that time for a cost of $10,500, this particular stock traded today or closed today at $100.27 a share. So I would have been this my original purchase would have actually be worth $49,945, bringing my total for today at if I had bought all of those other stocks based on the original purchase. Would have bought my total stock portfolio up to $295,850.35. All of the stocks, it was actually a mixed bag. As I said, Seattle Genetics closed up 0.31. Global X Longevity Thermatic closed up, as well as XHE, which is this S&P's healthcare ETF. ARK Genomic Revolution closed up. iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF closed up, as well as Genomic Health closed up. Veritas lost $1.24. First Trust closed a little bit down. Invesco closed a little bit down, as well as the IXJ closed a little bit down. So all of these stocks, you know, it was a mix. Some closed up, some closed down, but their overall performance has actually done really well. And it just goes to show, and I'm actually going to post the updated biotech list, biotechs in the news list, in this week's blog post. I think this will actually be one of the things that'll be helpful for to get ideas about which stocks to potentially add to your own portfolio. And one of the things that I also have noticed when I actually was researching for this part of the show, Seattle Genetics and companies like Seattle Genetics, as well as the IBB ETF, the stocks that seem to do well have a very high percentage of institutional support. That means if you can compare Seattle Genetics to the rest of the stocks, the institutional investment is about 105%. That means a larger percent of those stocks are owned by these massive institutions. So small changes actually can make great money is the more shares that you actually hold. And when researching stocks, look for that those types of things. And I get that type of information when, as far as when I actually research through TD Ameritrade, my account, I have, I don't have a lot of money or a lot of stocks at this time invested. However, I do have access to a lot of information. And of course, now it's in all things, knowledge is power. But as I said, these are just a list of the stocks that I'm personally following. But certain things that you yourself should actually research is institutional investment, overall changes over time, volatility, return on investment, those types of things. If they also, another thing, like Johnson & Johnson, how many times they do big stock buybacks, because that's evidently that is a sign of health when the company actually believes in its own stock, so it starts snapping up its own shares to actually support the price. So with that said, I'm going to pause for a break for our next segment. And thank you for listening to this so far. Realize over and over again how much I talk. So, anywho, welcome to this last part of the show, Meaningful Application of Technology. And I'm going to be, this segment is going to be focusing on blockchain and the meaning of blockchain. I decided on this story towards the end of last week and have been really kind of contemplating it all this week because of the biotechnology slant that the podcast actually has. I also wanted to tighten the verbiage up before I posted it because I am not only going to post it to my blog, but also to another hustle of mine. I am one of the consultants on Advisory Cloud, and I wanted this to be in my voice and in my words, but also to have the structure I think it requires to become taken seriously as a legitimate biotech consultant, because that's what I want to be. I want to be able to translate nerd speak into tech speak, into common speak, so everyone can actually understand it. And I got this jolt, and to make sure that I made the huge fee that just got posted to my credit card worth it. In the grand scheme of things, I think I can actually make up, or I think I will be able to make up the justification for that fee if I can somehow create something that is legible and that will get me minimum of maybe 2 to 3 consultant gigs a month to be able to justify that fee. But we'll wait and see. So I wanted to make or endeavor, as I said, to make this post as the best as possible for the appropriateness to post on that platform. But I also have a genuine interest in blockchain. I see the value of its utilization in healthcare, and I wanted to take a minute to explain the technology in its basic form. This particular technology, basic in its simplistic terms, is a way to take large amounts of data, encrypt it, and make it secure and incorruptible. So you can access that data and trust the validity of the data. This easy access, easy access to the data, and to be able to move it in these blocks and securely makes this invaluable in industries like healthcare, because as an industry, we produce great amount of data in various amounts between claims in our labs, MRI, CT scans. And because this is breast health or breast cancer awareness month, even with mammograms interpretation, there is just so many terabytes of data that needs to be accessed that we don't have access to. But if we could organize them into these blockchains to make them secure and easily accessible, we can actually utilize the data in meaningful ways. For example, companies like IBM are building smart platforms just to utilize as far as their contracting. There is companies that utilize, like Vital Health, that utilizes it as far as researching ways to use data that is provided by blockchain to assist in reducing healthcare costs. Because it's in the research realm, it doesn't specifically say where, but as being a physician, I do know that the greatest amount of waste seems to be in a lot of the front office as far as claims processing, chart creation, and then getting the claims where they need to be. Blockchains is a fix it and set it and forget it, like that convection oven that used to be touted in the infomercials from a couple of years back. It would be great if we had a foolproof way to actually, just using demographic data, that you only fix it, like set it and forget it one time, and you can actually, if it's using blockchain, you don't have a way, or there's no way to actually corrupt that data, because that's where one sentence or one little decimal off, it can cause your claim to actually be rejected. And that goes trickle-down effect is if your claim is constantly rejected, that is money that's not coming to your industry or that to your facility. There's also a way, but to also use blockchain as application as quality in reducing waste in places like the lab, radiology, as well as in the OR suite. Those applications have been utilized and researched, and they actually have applications as far as reducing waste in those realms. But there is a company called Augusta High Tech that plans to utilize blockchain not only to allow its users to download and their health information directly to their mobile devices, but also allow other providers that utilize that app to access the data, which is encrypted and through a multi-factorial authentication system that allows them to access the data that they need in a very meaningful, secure way to make rapid decisions. However, I do counter that this coupled with AI and clinical decision to support will allow them to prescribe certain therapies that, number one, if it's also milked in or roped in with claims data and policy data from the insurer, that they know, number one, the patient is going to be able to afford, or the insurance is going to pay for, but they're not going to waste their time prescribing therapies that are not even going to potentially work for their patient or may actually harm them. This is taking personalized healthcare to a whole other level, because it's number one, you're not going to be wasted time trying to get old records. That's number one. Number two, you're going to be able to make critical decisions that are going to be appropriate for that patient based on a multifactorial things. What is their clinical profile? Are they the appropriate population for the prescribed therapy? And that is all coming down and accessible right in the palm of your hand, utilizing those types of services that not only give you fast access to data as blockchain can do, but also roping in and marrying those with other technologies, as I stated, clinical decision support and artificial intelligence to make to allow the different providers to make the best decision for that particular patient. And I can see this type of application being expanded, not just in acute medicine, but also in particular, those types in precision health in general, management of oncology, the cardiovascular patients, better management in patients with diabetes. The reason why I mention all of those is because those are some of the type of conditions that have potential high dollar amounts associated with them. So if you have access to that type of data and you have access to it in a meaningful way to allow you to make best decisions for that particular patient, not only will you decrease in the wasting of time, but also you're not going to be wasting resources that have no chance of working on that patient or showing no benefit to that patient. And I think that's pretty baller when you think about it. And I'm hopeful this is also makes more sense for not just, cancer and cardiac and diabetic patients, but also, as I started speaking about at the top of the show, applications in behavioral health, utilizing all those calculators, because the data, if that particular patient has all of those questions already in and saved to their medical record, and you rope in a little bit of AI and clinical decision support, you can also make recommendations about when therapies need to change, trim back, and alter specifically for that patient. And I think this increases my hope that the development of other applications of blockchain is going to make the practice of medicine even more better in the future, as well as just being the meaningful application and practical application of technology in healthcare. And I think blockchain, with usage and combination of other technologies, is going to be where it's at as far as the future of medicine, and I'm pretty excited about it. So this ends this episode of Tennessee Fro is Reading. Thank you for joining me and allowing me to talk a hole in your head. But as always, I am very interested in all of the research and real-world applications, as I said, of technology that not only going to help us, that will help us solve what ails mankind, but in particular as far as breast cancer. Please navigate to the Susan G. Komen website to make a donation in memory of my mother, but also in memory of any family member that has been touched by cancer. And navigate to www.dalesangelsinc.com for all the special order offers, as well as updates on nerd news. Drop me a line at tennesseefroisreading@gmail.com or leave a 2-minute non-trolley message at 423-463-0658. And if I like what you said, I'll probably either read it if it comes in email or play it on the podcast. Stop being a freeloader and become a patron through Podbean to support what you're hearing, or you can just leave a tip at paypal.me/FeliciaDAI. And I'm going to end this with my daily affirmation. I'm supposed to do better. I deserve to be successful, because I will and have done the work. And also, in the words of Humble the Poet, many of the injuries we suffer mentally are self-inflicted. So we need to really stop being hard on ourselves. I'm responsible for my own happiness. I will create the life that I want. And also, this shit just doesn't get any easier. We just get stronger. So embrace the struggle and just be kind to ourselves and to others. And thank you. This ends this episode. Join me next week for another episode of Tennessee Fro's Medical Minute. And I hope you guys have an awesome, awesome day.